When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, everybody, to The Psychologists Are In. I am Maggie Lawson.
And I'm her podcast partner in crime, Timothy Ombudson.
And we're back. We're officially back with our original format, and we are joined by the most perfect first guest back to help us podcast the shit out of Season 5, Episode 9, one, maybe two ways out. So, without further ado, give it up for Mr. Dulay Hill.
Here we are.
First up,
come on
now.
Hi, Tim. Hey, Maggie. Hi, Dulay.
What's happening, Tim? How's everything?
Hi, Dulay.
Miss you, my buddy.
Miss you both, man. Miss you both. Glad to see your faces. You know what I'm saying?
I want to come back over and watch Kennedy's volleyball game and hang out.
Oh, you see them? Yeah, she's out there doing her thing. She's a few more. You know, you got between, I think, now and the end of the month. Let's make it happen.
We'll make it happen. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is so special. So this is our official first episode back post strike ending. And
Welcome back, everybody.
OG format, and we can say psych as many times as we want.
My psych paraphernalia is now.
I see it.
Also, Tim, love, like the whole look. You look fantastic. You've got the nice blue mic.
It's finally close. So it's actually a light. It's actually a blue flannel.
And ooh, blue eyes.
You see, it matches your eyes, Tim. The mic and the flannel matches the blue in your eyes.
Oh, Dulay, he knows. It's all on purpose.
He's like, that's the point.
But do you think it's for studio?
Yes, it's not a true story. Also, Dulay, I gotta say, since I've seen you, I think something's different.
It's tighter on the sides.
Maybe some more gray.
There's a hint of salt in the top.
All that picketing may have added some grays in my.
It's true. I know my hair is a little blonder. I'm wondering if this is from being out in the sun.
That is a good observation, though, Tim. Because yes, I am going a little lower here on the sides. You see what I'm saying?
I like
the hind side. And the gray always looks perfect on you, buddy. You gray just beautifully, my friend.
I'm just trying to keep up with you, Timbo. I'm just trying to keep up.
You're nice, man.
So I'm still a little numb. I had a dental appointment this morning, and we weren't going to have to numb me, and then we did. So it's almost worn off. It's almost tradition here. Tim knows, like, we have, for whatever reason, we always seem to have dental appointments on pod days. So
I actually did not have a dental appointment today.
I know, which is shocking. We're both
matched really nicely.
Anyway,
it makes sense. It's like pod days equals dental days. That seems like
right.
That's what everybody
those
does.
Those two isn't go hand, it? In, isn't that what you, hand in hand.
Yeah, I thought that's how it went.
Yeah.
I tried to get my appointment today, but they couldn't fit me in. So.
Well, Tim and I booked them all. Dulay, it's so good to see you. We're so happy you're here. This is like the best because, you know, this is going to be Thanksgiving. So today is actually Thanksgiving.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving.
Could not be more
thankful to be back.
Absolutely. And back with the Psychologists Are In, a psychological podcast. Oh, there, I said that word. Because I can say that word now.
We can say psychos, and we can talk about the episode, which I almost will probably just fly through the synopsis because I want to get to fan questions and talk to Dulay. This was such a cool. I was like, how much money did we spend? the helicopters.
We had a budget for a helicopter. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is when they knew they were going to keep us around for a little while.
Exactly. Oh, we were cruising, I think, by now. Also, the stunt stuff we were doing, but it's been so long since we've done this format. that I was just so happy to see both your faces. This is just the best thing.
Yeah, this is.
I was so excited to be able to watch the episode again last night and do my very professional notes.
Yeah. Also, Levi.
What's it?
For Halloween, did he wear his camel?
He did. Well, here's the thing. We went out on Halloween was it Tuesday
or Monday?
So we went out on Monday first, but he had Halloween events. So he went out.
Of course he did. He's a busy guy.
Saturday he wore the camel and he was loving it. But then he realized that it's not so practical when it comes to wanting to be picked up and everything like that.
Oh, so right.
And then where we were was like going uphill. He trooped it out. He did it and had a great time.
I love it.
But then by the time it was actually Halloween, he was like, you know what? I think I'll wear my astronaut costume. So he was a camel pre-Halloween.
And then,
then he was a ghost at his preschool for the preschool Halloween party. And then that night, he was an astronaut. He had changes. You know what I mean?
You're going to do Halloween, you got to change, right?
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I'm inspired by this, actually. I feel like maybe that's the move.
That's how you have to do it. I mean,
you got to trip everybody up, too.
Yeah. It's like, what is this, 1985? Come on.
Come on.
You know.
I learned the hard way. One year I wore a really big pumpkin costume my my Halloween party, and I couldn't get my arms out to hold my drink. Or to give out candy. So,
yeah, see?
You got to get somebody to show with your costume. So he's obviously learned the right way.
He has.
I will tell Psycho's little tidbit that I learned how to recycle something for this Halloween for me. Because I went to a Halloween party and, you know, I pulled out the Prince outfit.
No!
Yes, I did.
Did I miss you at Tots? Did you go to Tots?
Yes, I did.
When?
How dare you did not put pictures of that on the socials. They would have lost.
Oh my God. Wait. So you brought out
We got there late. We got there late because, again, Levi had a big social calendar. So
sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yes.
So you brought out the Prince?
I brought out the Prince. I had the Prince with the ruffles, with the pants. The pants still fit. I was very impressed. I gave myself
well done. Back.
Dude, you know, because
Prince's pants are tight. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
they still fit around the waist. I said, all right.
Prince for a reason. Yeah.
What did you say, Tim?
They were tight on Prince when he was wearing them for a performance reason.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't know if mine were tight when I first wore them, but they were tight now. But they still fit.
So what you're saying is they were actually worn appropriately. Yeah.
They were worn appropriately now, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, didn't have the wig though. I couldn't find a wig. I thought I had kept the wig from when we filmed it, but I guess.
And Maggie, which begs the question, do you still have the Princess Leia outfit?
You know what? I do. And now I'm remembering, Delia, I must have just missed you that night because I went as like a flapper girl, you know, because we were like, we couldn't. Due to strike rules, there like we couldn't be characters, and so I didn't know if Princess Leia was like I do have that, but I didn't know if that would be considered like Disney. I don't know, so I was like, let me just play it safe, and I'll be just like a nondescript flapper girl, like from like the 20s, you know, or whatever. So well, yeah,
but, I was the artist formerly known as Prince. So
yes, you were.
Yes, I was.
We had to coordinate.
That was a wig, right? Because it was a bob and I was...
It was a bob. It was like a bleach blonde bob that I wore with like the headpiece and the thing. And like, yeah, it was very like Roxy Hart. It was very Chicago. Like,
you looked adorable in the pictures you sent me.
But I didn't. Thank you. It was fun. It was like fringe and boas and, you know, it was a good time. It was a good time. But yes, I do have Princess Leia. Mm-hmm. And we need to coordinate maybe next Halloween or something.
You see?
You got to figure out. It's in the bottom Paris.
What I was thinking about though, I wish I would have kept my Michael Jackson outfit.
Oh,
Michael Jackson from American Duos. I wish I would have kept that. I wish I would have kept Blackula, that outfit. I'm like, why didn't I keep all those?
Look at all of our costumes. Oh my God, it's so good.
Yeah.
So good. Anyway,
I do have a closet full of Lassiter suits and ties.
Nope. you see?
Tim kept everything. Tim literally kept everything, but it is
the show. It all fell off a truck. as we
you
say.
See? Yeah. But the suits and ties, they don't ever really get out of style. You know?
Right. Right.
I may or may not have taken some of the Gus outfits. I can neither confirm nor deny. Mm-hmm. But the Gus outfits are a little more, they don't really always go with the time. After a while, it's like.
There's a jacket that fell off the truck that's in my closet now that you wore once, and then Kurt Smith wore in 100 Clues. And it looks so good on you. I was like, I need to steal that jacket. I mean, borrow that jacket.
Borrow.
Or the Canadian borrow. But unfortunately, for some reason, it doesn't look as good on me as it looked on you, because you have maybe slightly larger shoulders and broader shoulders than I do.
Yeah. Maybe it's the stern bush, Tim. Maybe you have too much stern bush.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do not have the stern bush, you see? Really
same.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, next time you get a haircut, you just pull it to the side, screw it up. That's all I do. That's what mine is, so gray.
Oh, God. This is the best. It's always funny too, clothing and like characters. I always feel like we're a little bit like, I can't wear what my character wear. Like, it feels almost sometimes, unless it's classic, like a suit, like you're talking about, Tim, but like when it's like a distinct look that a character has, and then you try to wear something like that, and I'll be like, oh, this is such a nice shirt or such a nice dress. I should have this and keep this in my life. But every time I look at it, I'm like, oh, that feels like the, that moment of that character.
This is what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I can actually say the title. When I was doing Gallivant after we did Psych.
Yes.
I got a stylist. I was doing a bunch of records. So I got a stylist and he came over and I showed him all. I pulled out a rack of all my borrowed Lassiter suits, which are all Hugo Boss. And he looks and just goes, yeah, okay, here's the thing. Hugo Boss is what you wear when you want to look good at the office but comfortable. I'm like, so I can't wear any of these suits on the red carpet? He's like, yeah, no.
He's like, no. this is not it.
Right. Yes. It's a funny thing.
Nothing against the boss named Hugo, but it's just
nothing against that boss.
Right. Right.
It's what you wear in the office when you want to look good but comfortable.
Yeah.
So cut to him then loaning me this intensely amazing Vivian Westwood suit that was Joe McHale's.
Oh yeah.
If Joe McHale wore it. You know, if Joe McHale wore it, then I mean, come on.
Then it's good.
Yeah, Joel and I do share a stylist.
We love Joel McHale.
I got his hand-me-downs.
What else do you all share?
A love of Brooklyn. Family show, Dulé.
Dulé.
Hey, before I get 1 second further into this podcast, I mean, we kind of glossed over a little bit. Uh-huh. Again, all of you out there listening who are not with your regular family, thank you for being part of our Psych family on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And speaking of Thanksgiving, I'd say the thing I'm most thankful for, no offense to you, Dulé, but looking at the picture on my screen of my upper left-hand corner is Ms. Margaret Castellas, my dear partner in crime. Upper right-hand corner is the handsman, wonderful Dulé Hill, my dear friend, who I love and thankful for you. But I think if we're talking levels of thanks, I've got to give my most gratitude and thankfulness to Maggie Lawson for being my partner in crime for 17 years. And bringing me on to this amazing podcast that I get to share my life with all of you people.
Oh,
I think you transferred your like waterworks to me over the last few days. I am just crying at the drop of a hat these days. So
that's sweet. So nice, very sweet, Tim. And don't worry. Offense is taken. Don't worry. Offense is taken.
You know, I mean.
I've got a really nice bottle of scotch that I think will fix that, do I?
Oh, yeah.
What
is offense in this world? What is offense? I mean, come on. Isn't it too much offense in this world? Come on.
Compared to a 12-year-old single mom with Helen.
Tim, I think you know that the feeling is absolutely mutual. And I love that like we're just giving thanks today, because I also to Dulé too. Like, I feel like Jasmine used this word earlier this year and I can't stop using it now. But I want to give her credit because I love this word, framily, which is basically our friends who become our family, our chosen family. And she started saying it and I was like, that is what it is. It's our family. So Jasmine, thank you for that word and also for summing up exactly what this is, because I feel it and I love you both so much. And I feel grateful for our family every day, honestly, every day. So
speaking
wow. of
very, very grateful.
This as
grateful to have been on this journey for so long. I was here just thinking like, this is crazy. It's, you know, this is 2023 and we started this in 2006.
20 years, which it's today and blew my mind.
Yeah, it's like, the fact that we are all still connected, we are as close as we are, even if time goes by, we don't see each other, the love is always there. It's,
even my God. More
so, closer, exactly. It really is an amazing thing.
It's a true blessing in the midst of a lot of, let's say, it's a lot of light in what feels sometimes like a lot of darkness. So we're very lucky for our light. We all have. All right. So should I do a synopsis? Cause it's been months. Should I just synopsize and then join in with all of your,
synopsis it up. Come on. Synopsis it up.
All right.
I think it's premature though. Dula Hill.
Oh yes.
Your friend, Margaret Cassidy Lawson, partner in crime that I love so much. Are you both ready to podcast the shit out of this episode with me?
Let's podcast the shit out of this.
What? Ain't that some shit?
Ain't of that podcast? Some shit?
I've missed the way that Dula can make anything sound dirty. I just miss it. I miss it so much.
It is a special gift.
It's a gift.
On that note, do you want to intro the episode, which is called Episode 9, One Maybe Two Ways Out, in Dula voice, please?
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
you're so good.
Cyclones around the world, those who are fans of delicious flavor, we are now about to psych it up with one or maybe two ways out. You know that's right.
I might need a minute.
He kind of sounds a little bit like, a player named Gus. Was it player named Gus? Yeah, player named Gus.
Yeah.
He sounded a little bit like that. But yeah, one, maybe two ways out. It's going to be delicious flavor. You know that's right.
Okay. I think
I might need
hey,
psychos.
This is too much.
We have one, maybe two ways out.
I'm suddenly very tired.
It's like ASMR things now. This is my new career. You know, we've been on strike a long time, so this is.
I love it. I love it so much. Okay,
you were definitely very busy during your. It doesn't suck when I do it. You're very busy with your downtime, your me time during the strike. Yes.
Me time.
A lot of me time.
Okay.
Whenever you see me go off camera like this, it's not good, ladies and gentlemen. It's not good. That means something.
No, but on that note, now I want you on me time because we need to talk about Dula's me time on me time. Okay.
So, make it that episode.
Yeah. That's
gonna man, be- you can't handle an episode of me time.
Oh, you can't handle me time?
not Dula's version.
I forgot what I posted about yours back. Like when you let me go look it up. I had posted when you first started that podcast, and of course, you know, I said, let me see. What did I say? I said, you know what? It's Friday, and I'm about to take some me time with Maggie Lawson. Let me guess. You're probably saying, how is it me time when it's with Maggie Lawson? You know what? I've heard it both ways. Yeah. I've heard
that's
it both
a good
ways. Me time thank with you, Maggie Lawson.
Thank you. Me yes. Time. And also, I'm thinking about that.
Maggie Lawson.
Oh.
Me time with Maggie Lawson.
it just keeps going.
I love it.
Me time.
I wasn't going to stop him.
You can't stop.
I can't stop myself, Maggie. I can't stop myself.
Don't.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
I don't know about you all, but while there's something so special about, you know, the holidays and get-togethers and, you know, all of that that comes with this sort of hopefully magical time of year, there's also a lot of stress. there can also be a lot of pain. I think this time of year can bring up a lot. I think everybody's triggers can get activated in some way or another. So this time of year can be a lot, and it's natural to feel some sadness or anxiety about it, but adding something new and positive to your life can counteract some of those feelings. Therapy can be a bright spot amid all of the stress and change, something to look forward to and to make you feel grounded and to give you the tools to manage everything that's going on. Sometimes it can be just an outlet. Sometimes it can be a release. Sometimes you just need to say some things out loud and have somebody reflect it back to you without judgment, and who can almost like mirror back to you things that you're doing, saying, or whatever, to help you get to know yourself a little bit better so you can also cope during this time of year. That's what therapy has been for me. It's helped me get to know myself, so I know how to take better care of myself in situations where I can sometimes feel stressed or overwhelmed. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your bright spot this season with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/pineapple today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/pineapple. We can all agree on one thing. No one likes that smelly garbage that attracts fruit flies and ants into the kitchen. Most of us are still taking out the trash like it's the 20s. And that smelly garbage that gets picked up every week, almost half of it is made up of food waste. Food waste doesn't only stink up your kitchen, it stinks up our planet with a lot of methane. Now that I've invested in Elomi, it has changed the way I deal with my food waste. Elomi is the biggest innovation in the modern day kitchen since the dishwasher. It's really amazing. It's smart, simple food recycling that fits my space perfectly. In just 4 hours, Elomi transforms almost anything you eat into nutrient-rich plant food at the push of a button. Cut the chore of doing the trash in half. Eliminate bugs and odors in your kitchen. And here's the bonus. You get to feed your lawn and garden with an all-natural fertilizer that you just created out of your food scraps. There's no food rotting in my garbage and smelling up the kitchen. Now I only take the trash out on garbage day. No more leaky bags. Hate leaky bags. I learned that food waste makes up a huge portion of our personal carbon footprint. By reducing the amount of food I send to the landfill, I'm helping do my part for the planet. Whether you want to start making a positive environmental impact or just grow a beautiful garden, Elomi is perfect for you. Head to Elomi.com/pineapple and use promo code pineapple to get $50 off your Elomi. That's $50 off when you head to Elomi, Elomi.com/pineapple, and use promo code pineapple at checkout. Thank you, Elomi, for sponsoring this episode.
We should get 1 second into this relaunch of our amazing podcast. Mm-hmm. Have I told you how great you look today?
Me?
I don't think I have.
Oh my God. This is very funny that you say that. Thank you. I left very quickly this morning, barely ran a brush through my hair, got to the dentist thinking I was only going to be there for a little while. I picked it up before I did the podcast. No, that led to me having a nerve get inflamed, having to get numb, and me running in the door to sit down for this podcast. So that's why, Delay, I'm sorry. I don't think I've even put a brush through my hair today, but
Tim is saying that you're a natural beauty, Maggie.
I can't believe you beat me to the podcast today because I knew
you'd be right before. I was so worried. Also, we have such a wonderful guest, and sometimes I'm usually like the 3 minute later. Like I'm a 3 to 5 minute late person on the podcast. And today I was like, no, I will be on time. I will be on time. And I was actually really relieved. Like I did put some lip gloss on and turn on some lights so that you can't see. I still have, this is like morning face still. Anyway, so.
That morning, you turn on some lights to highlight the natural beauty, Maggie.
The world should be so lucky if they all had that morning.
Thank you.
You text me the day you're reading my text. The hairdresser and your hair's looking. Love the color.
Oh yeah, I did. I got a little blonde. I mean, it doesn't look great right now, but I did. I got a little winter highlight. You know, the strike was over, and I was like. Got some self-tapes came in, and I was like, Maggie, you need to get your shit together.
Come on. And we got some live shows to do, so you
got
to...
And we got live shows to do. I also want to make an announcement just because I have seen Psychos. They've only seen one announcement because that's all we've given for, like, cities that we're going to be in next year. So I just want to say this because I see a lot of you trying to figure out how to get to certain places. Maybe... just give it a beat because there might be some other places that could be closer. And I, you know, we want it to be nice and easy and convenient and good for everybody. And not have to, like, you know, spend too much or whatever to get wherever we are. So I'm just saying.
Psychologist Pod Tour 24?
Yeah, Psychologist Pod Tour 24. Yeah. So hashtag. I've just seen some psychos trying to get to Virginia. And
March 16th, I believe it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to, without saying, because I can't say what other cities we're doing yet, but I want to be like, you know, don't overextend yourselves because there might be easier options. So
anyway. Tim and Maggie may come to you. You know what I'm saying?
That's what we're talking about.
I will say this. They are all across the country.
We are all over the country. So probably one closer to you. Yeah. All right. Let's. Now that DeLay's given us that perfect
Maybe two ways out. Right?
Let's go. Ready? Pineapple sighting. Did anybody get it? I did not.
I actually did for the first time in my life.
I did not get this either.
Look, I came to play season now that we're back for honor.
I don't think you've ever had one pineapple. This is like Tim's first
pineapple. This is my very first clean, literally like water. And when I had like a holy crap eureka moment when I saw it. Rewind to make sure it was right. It's in the police station during the phone call with Nadia and Sean. Mm-hmm. I think it's Sage Brockman. It goes to the it's on top of the file cabinet.
Click, 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 click.
Correct. There is. Wow. That's exactly where it is. Yeah. The pineapple pencil holder it is.
Oh, my goodness. And I remember that part, too. And I just did not see the pineapple pencil holder.
I wasn't entranced
by how the click clicks. I think they kept
playing on the click, 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 click so much. I knew someone was coming out of it.
Oh, wow.
I got it for once. Okay. Stop the presses. Calmed. I should have given a disclaimer that everyone needed to pull over and put the weights down. And stop that. That was a pretty psych first. I was so proud of myself that I didn't have to rely on our amazing producer Devin to
tell us
where it was.
I loved it. I love it, Tim. This is a big one, and I'm excited. Yeah. And I love that you got it on the first one back post strike. This is good.
Very impressive.
So I'm so excited to get back to our what we do the best and love the most, our podcast.
All right, pulled open, ready? A mysterious woman urgently walks around. Amidst having flashbacks, cut to Gus and Sean enjoying some vanilla ice cream. As Gus tells Sean that every time Sean says he wants to open an ice cream shop, it's because something happened with Jules.
It's a shop, which is pronounced just like Dulé pronounces his name.
Oh, so Chopé.
Ice cream. He says ice cream store, and James Crooks. No, ice cream shop.
I love that. Okay, Chopé. Then they argue about who this mysterious woman is staring at while seductively slurping their ice cream until they notice her gun and make a run for it. Gus refusing to drop his phone.
And not just staring at. There's definitely a season 5 first where James refers to her bedroom eyes.
Oh.
Bedroom eyes or lovers in the nighttime in a long time. Mm-hmm. So It was nice to, now that we're getting back into watching the show, rewatching our favorite show, it's like seeing old friends suddenly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. having all of our references. So this woman is played by Franca Potente, who is she is one of my dear friends. I met Franca through my friend Derek, who met her on a show called House, and they are now married. Happily with two children.
Hey.
Yeah. So, and Derek, who was also on the show, but that comes later. So, but when we had the idea for this episode, James, I remember, was like, oh my God, it would be so fun to have Franca because it's sort of, we make a Bourne Identity reference and she's in those movies. So it's very cool. So she's basically playing the character.
So in the first, after the ice cream, we cut to the running scene. Yes. On our beautiful Santa Barbara Pier down in White Rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Other homes. And I run a little insight. Haven't done one of those in a long time. So the beginning of the episode is a chase scene with Franca running. She became most famous, I think, for the German film Run Lola Run.
Run. Right. That's right. That's how I knew Franca. And then, of course, saw her in those movies, but I was a big Run Lola Run fan. And that's sort of like when I heard Franca Potente, I was like, oh, this Run Lola Run. But she also was in the Bourne movies. And I'll, and anyway, so this was sort of our Bourne homage, I guess. And so it was very cool that she's sort of the Jason Bourne character in this. But yes, The Running.
I gotta give one comment as I'm referring to my very professional notes. During the scene with James and Dulé, and where Sean is talking about Jules and his being conflicted over her dating Declan, mm-hmm. whether or not he as a friend should let her, you know, should not protest. And Dulé pulls out some legit psychology. I think he called it, you refer to what psychiatrists say. And I thought, I was like, oh, we're actually using the word psychologist on the very first episode back of The Psychologists Are In Pod.
Oh, I love it. Full circle.
See?
That's called psychiatry.
Here's the genius of the writers, Todd Harthin and Andy Berman.
Yeah.
They knew back then that you all were going to have a podcast 15 years later.
They were psychics.
they were psychics. And they said, you know what? Let's write this thing.
And we were manifesting it back then. We were believing.
There you go.
We also need to mention, it's Todd and Andy, but Mel Damsky directed the shit out of this episode.
The Damskers.
Speaking of the commander.
But then, right. Look at that. Jinx.
As they're running on the pier, right off the line of Barry, of Who's Barry?
Oh, yeah.
Barry?
Yeah.
We get a Mel Damsky Hitchcockian cameo. He's standing next to a woman on the railing of the pier. He's in a black t-shirt with an orange baseball cap.
Oh, wow, you didn't miss anything, Tim. I love this.
That's aggressive.
I didn't see that either.
Look, I came to play.
The only other
relaunch of the podcast. I came ready to go.
Yeah. The only other cameo of Mel that I remember of the Damskers is when I don't even know what episode it is. Psychos, you could probably let me know where Sean and Gus pull up to the drive-thru and it's Krabby Mel's or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And it's like the cartoon character. That's Mel Damsky.
Mel Damsky. Mm-hmm. I love this, both of it. All right, here we go. So Gus refuses to drop his cone. That's when an apparent super spy named Nadia seeks their help in locating an agent who's been off the grid for quite some time. She mentioned you and O'Hara sent her their way to help. Right as she explains their help is urgent, a helicopter appears, firing off shots while all three of them hide under the pier. Once the coast is clear, they hide in the women's bathroom, explaining. Yeah, go back.
It's side crew separation within the helicopter. Side crew separation is first man in the helicopter is the great C. Thomas Howell.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, that we can always leave in, but the degree of separation is that Tommy and I actually tested for Lassiter against each other.
What? Oh, wow.
And you know what's funny? It's funny because I was like, this guy is like the FBI version of Lassiter.
Yeah.
That's what I was.
That's so funny. That's a fun tidbit. I think that's a great tidbit.
I remember being so honored when I got this role, it was not just that I got this role. It's that.
Is that Jasmine?
It is competition.
Yeah,
and
I remember
thinking
Maggie saw my eyes and she was like, is that Jasmine?
I'm like, you don't have
she
can't hear you. Oh my God, I love your hair. God, what? I love you guys. You're like, it's okay. She doesn't have to hear us.
Hi,
I love you.
I came to get highlighters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course.
Yeah, I'm in her space right now. This is Jasmine's office. So
this is the best surprise ever.
Hi, I love you guys.
We love you.
So to evade the helicopter, before they're in the bathroom, they jump over the railing, but magically they don't land in the water. It cut to them on the dock next to a boat. So this was some season 5. not some powers. The boys don't go in the water anymore.
When I saw us jump off, I said, it kind of like brought back memories. I said, what joker put us in the water again? And then when we landed, I was like, oh, that's right. This is season 5. That's right. This is
Todd
season 5.
Todd and Andy. Yeah.
It was like, you know what? Enough with the water, everybody. Enough with the water. We get it. Santa Barbara.
You all love the water. Kidding. All right. Okay. Wait, where are we? So, all right. So once it goes to clear. Oh, I have a fun little psych degree of separation. Terry Chen, who is Tom Fong, is a, he and I did a pilot together in 2001, about 4 months before 9/11, and we shot at the World Trade Center.
Yeah,
it was a fun kind of like mystery. It was me and Jensen Ackles and Chris Pilaha and Terry Chen. So Jensen, who you know, but we, yeah, we shot a pilot there. And I hadn't, I don't know that I had seen Terry. I'd seen Terry a little bit around Vancouver, but I was so happy to have him in the episode. He is the nicest guy. So it was nice to see him in this too.
This was the thing where you were lawyers, right?
Yeah, we were, no, we were in criminal, so we were in the school. We were studying to be detectives. So, or DeJounte Criminal School in New York. Yeah. Adam Arkin directed it and was in it. Oh, sorry. Did he direct it? No, Steve Miner directed it. Sorry. Adam Arkin was our professor.
You're now of one mind, for goodness
sake. Yeah, and we really are. How did you remember
Steve
that?
Steve Miner, that's another psych connection.
Another psych connection.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are bringing it for this relaunch of the Psychologists Are In.
Anyway, I love Terry Chen. Terry Chen is one of the nicest people in the world. He's so nice. All right. So once the coast is clear, they hide in the woman's bathroom, explaining that the agent she's looking for is named Stravinsky, the only person in the world who has successfully erased his identity. Yes, Tim.
One of my favorite lines, James and Dulé are sitting on the bench and James goes, dude, purple octopus, 12 o'clock, because there's an octopus. Oh,
okay. It's so good.
The beautiful
man. Like, not now.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I'm fairly confident that was a James Roday special. You know what I mean? And then the damn skills was probably like, yes, let's pan up and get it.
Yeah, it's so good. That was one of my favorite. It made me laugh out loud. Okay, so Nadia needs to be... What?
You can't do that kind of stuff on other shows.
No, you can't.
No, you
can't.
That's why it's so magical.
You and can't, was the
most fun place in the world to be on.
Yes. Nadia needs to be erased too, as the government has been chasing after her, trying to capture her for something she claims she didn't do. Sean is quick to trust her because she drops Hugh and O'Hara's name and because she's a sexy government spy. Nadia then shows Sean and Gus a clue that Stravinsky left a small card with Braille writing on it. Gus gathers that the raised dots may be referring to constellation patterns in the sky. How he does that, I don't know. Yes, yeah, Tim.
That was a big reach. I remember seeing that, I was like, wow, they really pulled that one. They really, they're like, let's stretch this one.
Yeah.
We're going to connect.
There's a great exchange between Sean and Gus where Gus is being not as enthusiastic about joining in on the caper. And Sean goes, dude, you've got a chance to be in a Bourne film. I love that we actually just flat out went meta and called out our own homage.
Yeah, we did.
And yeah.
In fact, like you said, like you'd
we do that.
Is in the Bourne film.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
That just made me warm and fuzzy.
You see?
I love it. At first, they think that Stravinsky's location is under the Phoenix constellation, but in the end, they conclude that he is located in the Phoenix Valley. I love this. In the Los Padres National Forest. I just love that we're that good. You all are that good. Like, Then,
this is what being a pharmaceutical salesman would do for you, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly. It makes you a genius.
We're gonna shout out Stravinsky's played by the great
John Grease. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It was so wonderful. All seasons of White Lotus. And you know,
always are blown away.
Oh, good.
I'm always blown away when I look back and see who came through the psych world.
It's crazy. You know,
all the phenomenal actors and amazing talents that came to just hang out and play for a little while. It really blows my mind. And even as we're here on Thanksgiving, talk about being thankful. I'm thankful for all those people coming and sharing their gifts. I mean,
yeah,
come on. Even in this episode, it's like, wow, this is really, we have some really cool people. We have Franca, you have C. Thomas Howell, you have, you know, John, you have Nesta Carbonell. It's like, come on.
Yeah. Nesta, everybody. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Dulé Hill, you know.
Did you recognize Stravinsky's cabin?
Yes.
Oh, of course.
That's also, that's like,
yeah, kind of glassy jerky cabin.
Yeah, glassy jerky cabin.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where we were.
It's funny when you watch the episode sometimes, it's like it brings back these memories. Cause it, like when he got to the cabin, I just remember most of the time having to go all the way up into that mountain over there in North Van somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, most of the time I remember being cold.
Yeah.
You know, because you're way up there in the mountain. It's like, oh man, I remember filming over there.
Yeah, I know, right? Memories.
This podcast is sponsored by Relief Band. As a health conscious person, I always wanted to give the best advice for people when it comes to their health. When it comes to nausea, I finally have a product I can recommend, like over and over and over again, Relief Band. I love this thing. Relief Band is the number one anti-nausea wristband that quickly relieves and effectively prevents nausea and vomiting associated with motion sickness, anxiety, migraines, hangovers, morning sickness, chemotherapy, and so much more. Did you hear all of that? Relief Band is natural, fast-acting, and will last as long as you need it. It's 100% drug-free, non-drowsy, and has zero side effects. Have I not been raving to you about Relief Band? I think that I have. You have heard me raving about it because it's insane. I love this thing so much. I use Relief Band whenever there's even the slightest possibility I may get nauseous because nauseous is literally one of the worst feelings on the planet. Being nauseous is so awful. Whether I'm going on a boat or a plane, whenever I look at my phone in a car, even when I just have a bad hangover, honestly, truly, it works. Relief Band has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating and over 100,000 satisfied customers, so they are a brand you can trust. And Relief Band makes a great gift for the nausea sufferer in your life. It really does. I sent one to my mom who used it recently. She got extremely nauseous from a procedure that she had, and she said the only thing that helped her, I asked her if I could say this because I was the same way when I had vertigo. This was the only thing that helped me. But yeah, when she came out of this procedure, she was so nauseous. And she said this was the only thing that helped her. So anyway, there's two testimonials right there. Right now, Relief Band is running their biggest sale of the year for Black Friday. So head over to reliefband.com to receive 25% off your purchase plus free shipping. That's reliefband, R-E-L-I-E-F-B-A-N-D.com for 25% off plus free shipping. This podcast is sponsored by Smalls. The holidays are here. They're just here. And while it's great to get gifts for the people you love, it's also time to give back to those less fortunate. And I'm not talking about people in need, but cats too. I like to think that I try to give back whenever possible, which is why I appreciate our next sponsor so much, Smalls. If you are a listener of this show, you know that our foster cats, they just can't live without Smalls. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you would find in your fridge, and it is delivered right to your door. Smalls recently kicked off a partnership with the Humane Society. They have donated over $1 million worth of food to help cats through the Humane Society, and they even give you a chance to donate at checkout. Whether you donate $3 for treats, $5 for vaccines, or $7 for spaying and neutering. Smalls was started back in 2017 by a couple of guys home cooking cat food in small batches for their friends. A few short years later, they've served millions of meals to cats around the world. The difference that Smalls makes is real. After making the switch to Smalls, 78% of cat owners reported their cats had shinier and softer fur, and 90% reported overall health improvements. That is like a huge deal. That's like a very high percentage and very, very positive results. And with Smalls, you can adjust or cancel anytime. Easily skip shipments, switch up recipes, and add on goodies based on cats' needs and preferences. I love this company. I feel better knowing we're feeding our cats real cat food and not burnt kibble. I can finally open a packet of cat food and not get nauseous. And I actually recognize the ingredients in a packet of Smalls food as well. So is your cat food giving back to cats in need? Smalls is. So if you want to give Smalls a try and ditch kibble forever, head to smalls.com/pineapple and use promo code pineapple at checkout for 50% off your first order plus free shipping. That is the best offer you will find, but you have to use code pineapple for 50% off your first order. One last time, that is promo code pineapple for 50% off your first order plus free shipping.
Okay, okay.
There's a fun exchange when we first see Franca and Stravinsky together. They speak in German. And I was like, oh, she's German.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun little.
Yes, she is.
That's okay. Insider insight, everybody. Trademark.
That is insider.
And I loved John's bit where he would say he'd be very nice and this and that. Don't take your shoes off or this and that and be like, now tell me why you're here in 10 seconds or I'll kill you in the next 10 seconds.
I love it. He's so great in the dramatic work. Watch this episode. His comedic timing is so fun throughout this whole episode.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. He just finds every piece of comedy gold we give him.
Here's what you learn, everybody. When you come into an episode of Psych, maybe a decade later, you're going to be on one of the biggest shows on television. That's how it goes. You see? You know?
Exactly.
You know? You do a guest spot on Psych, and then now you're on White Lotus. I mean, that's how it goes.
And,
you know what I mean?
And maybe be one of the only characters that goes into season 2 of
you
White
see?
Lotus.
Hey, yeah. But we also, I mean, I'm jumping off of this episode, but we had Alan Ruck, who was on our show.
I know.
He went on to do Succession. I'm just saying.
It's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Do psych. And, wait, was Zach Levi Shazam yet when he did even the psych?
Zach Levi was not Shazam yet. No, he was not.
I mean, he'd done a ton of work, but like, yeah,
he wasn't Shazam. He wasn't Shazam.
Right. Right.
I'm something dropping. Well,
was Beyonce before she came on site? Was she? Oh wait, never mind.
The Star of Hacks.
Taylor Swift. Everybody heard
Taylor
her?
Taylor Swift. Yeah. She's in, what was it? Season 1, she was in Scary Sherry, right? No. I'm kidding. No, we're gonna start a frenzy. Yeah.
When she came
Billie
on, I was like,
Eilish was a fan of Psych before. You know, and now she's Billie Eilish. She wasn't necessarily on site, but she was a vocal, like an outspoken fan of it. Just saying. Okay.
I'm just saying.
When are we getting her on the podcast is the question.
Yes, we need to get her on the podcast and have her maybe if we do more psych. I want her to do the remake. You know how we always do a themed opening sequence, opening credits.
That would be cool.
Don't we need a Billie Eilish version of the opening credits for?
It'd be great if we did a fourth. If we did Psych 4,
that would just be great alone. But yeah, that would be great. Sean and Gus contact Declan and ask to fly them in his chopper to find Stravinsky. Declan agrees, and then we learn that he and Juliet are officially in a relationship. Barf. Thanks, Devin.
And he drops the G word. He drops the girl.
He drops the girlfriend word. Yeah. Okay, that's when she walks out in a bathrobe, and Jean instantly hurt, tries to mask his jealousy by cracking jokes. Declan then takes the gang by a helicopter to meet Stravinsky, who has been living by himself in a cabin in the middle of nowhere. Stravinsky is none too pleased to see them, but tells Nadia that he will, in fact, erase her. After he erases her, Nadia tells Stravinsky to open a file pertaining a recent mission to Bolivia. But to everyone's dismay, Stravinsky informs her that he can't. She gets agitated, pulls her gun, and orders him to open the file. Stravinsky points out that she would need access to a level 3 security computer within a government agency to open the file. Nadia then makes a run for it, leaving Sean, Gus, and Stravinsky frightened that they just helped a bad guy, especially after they learn that 2 diplomats were killed during the mission and that government money certificates were stolen. Back at the SBPD, Henry complains that Sean ruined his fishing trip. Then Declan walks in with Juliet after confessing everything he did to help. That's when CIA agent Camden Driggs and his assistant Tom Fong walk in, mentioning that they're on the case now. Together, they visit Stravinsky's home only to find a dead, burned body. Sean then physically leads them to the government office where he believes Nadia was headed. Sean and Gus then run into Nadia, who is downloading the info from her flash drives. Yes.
I loved how we get a throwback to Lasser being so excited about any government agency person. He gets the immediate man crush he did as he on Lars Hansen or Lou Diamond Phillips.
Yes.
I also love that he throws a very very direct insult at you and you're just like, oh thanks. Because he can say anything to you. He's like, yeah. Usually the guy who has no life is best for the job or something, and you're like, thank you. I'm like,
when we get a little exchange between Declan and Juliet about her spending the night and the him coming clean, not lying anymore, and the Grapefruit Fairy bit.
Oh,
And Juliet goes, that's so cute. Lasseter begrudgingly admits, pretty cute.
That is pretty cute. Yeah.
I do have one quick question. Am I wrong in thinking that the house, Declan's house, I could be wrong now that I'm trying to reimagine it, but Declan's house is not the same house that we use for when Richard Schiff did the Psych movie. That's not the same location, is it?
I don't think so.
Okay. Okay. All right.
I know what you're talking about, though. All right. That house was very cool, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe that wasn't. Oh, that's a good psych trivia. Psychos?
Yeah.
Maybe clarify this for us.
Because the foyer is totally different.
Oh, the foyer is different. Okay. All right.
Look at Tim. All right, Tim. But the color palette is the same, though.
That thing went into my brain, but still, I got details.
Okay, so Nadia escapes. Okay, right. The cops come in. Nadia escapes, placing an explosive device in the computer. Since it's half melted from the blast, Sean and Gus have to find Stravinsky again, who has since erased himself. Sean and Gus head back to Declan for a little help finding Stravinsky. Luckily, he is able to upload half of a satellite photograph taken during the Bolivia mission of Nadia running with the certificates in her hand, but the image is only partial, so the picture isn't totally clear. Back at the SBPD, Sean tries to explain what had happened, but he gets a call from Nadia during his meeting asking for something she needs back. During the night, Sean and Nadia meet at a park bench, and little do we know, but Nadia has slipped her phone into Sean's pocket. Then she gets arrested.
Parked right, with shot right in the aquarium, right next to the aquarium in Stanley Park. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I remember that night. I remember sneaking into the aquarium, which is very cool. Good night. Sorry. Anyway, okay, so then she gets arrested. Okay, Sean then confesses to Gus that Jules dating Declan is slowly killing him. He mentions he wants her to be
Your happy. Your face during in this scene when you were hearing this, Maggie, is just, it's so good. Your work is so good in this. When we see Jules,
thanks, like,
it's just beautiful, beautiful work.
It got me rewatching it. I remember reading that in the script. I remember the night we shot it. And I remember it being such a turning point, kind of like this begins the Jules.
It truly does.
Of it all. Yeah. This when it gets real.
This when it starts to get real. Shul balls,
that Shul ball is running, is rolling.
Yeah. Anyway, he can't imagine that happiness. He mentions he wants her to be happy, but he wants to be happy too. And he can't imagine that happiness without being with Juliet. That's when the phone sends Sean a message. It's the other half of the missing satellite photograph. The photo shows that Nadia was being held at gunpoint by none other than Driggs' assistant, Fong. Turns out, Nadia had managed to escape Fong with the certificates he was trying to steal during the operation. Fong is then arrested, and Nadia is acquitted. But this is the scene. Hang on. I'm going to get through the synopsis and go back and tell this little story. But anyway, there's one more matter to attend to. Declan and Juliet. Just as she is about to leave on a romantic trip to the Amalfi Coast with Declan, Juliet impulsively kisses Sean. It just gets the best of her in the scene because he's so sweet.
He had the lip quiver.
Lip quiver.
He said, don't take pictures here.
Quivers in his eye.
And a little bit. I've to stop you, Maggie. This scene, I rewatched. I rewatched this scene like three times. Your work. Yeah. This scene wrecked me.
Yeah, it got me again too. It also helps that the Sunday's cover of Wild Horses is playing in the background. That just gets any.
Wait. What I rewatched was your face during your other side of the camera, of the dialogue while he's giving his speech.
Yeah.
Just that you have not a stitch of dialogue. Mm-hmm. And everybody, I think this is one of your best acting on the show, on the entire series.
Tim,
like it all plays on your face, and it was great. And watched it, and then this happens, and Wild Horses happens, and I immediately start crying.
Tim and I I feel like on the show there was, with sometimes the absurdity element that happens, like the romance could also fall into some. Like naturally fall into some syrupy or over, like there's something about the tone that I feel like we always hit with these emotional scenes, not just the romantic, but like, God, like there's so many fun moments and I'm laughing out loud this whole episode. And then I have these things where I'm like, God, we like hit the other stuff too. Like everything, there's always, anyway,
these landing points to.
They land. Yeah. They like, and they mark, like root the episodes. And anyway, and Andy and Todd just killed it with this one. But yes.
And Jenkins Rodriguez and just so delivered this scene. And you being his scene partner, I cannot say this enough. It was just, your work was just beautiful, Maggie. You're so good.
Thanks, Tim. I can't stop watching Julie's lip quiver.
It's the Rodé Rodriguez lip quiver, everybody.
Yeah.
Here. And here. Really good work. I love this scene, though. I really did.
It's just so good.
Okay. Oh, gosh.
So after we move apart, there's confusion over whether she will go with Declan or stay with Sean. Yes. And I think this was the shot, right? Where Declan is like, we separate and there is a giant old a portrait of Declan. Literally.
I busted out laughing when I saw that.
Yeah. It was well shot.
Well shot. And just, you know, and I love how you had this magnificent scene, this magnificent moment between the two of you, which is so revealing of your relationship. Yeah. And then we also really get back to the absurdity of Psych, and is this huge picture of Mr. Carbonell.
Yeah. Right there. Right there. So good.
Oh, so good.
As Declan and Sean walk out at the very end of the scene, again, your face, like, and you do a classic O'Hara hand to your forehead.
Yeah.
And your face is just, again, it's the beautiful, beautiful beat without any dialogue of what you deliver.
I'm telling you, when the writing is that good and that kind of honest.
Yeah, this is that good.
Thank you. It was that these were pivotal. Like, these are the scenes that, like, I don't know. Yeah, this was this episode. It was so fun to watch again and remember. Quickly, I just want to say, the day before we hung Franca Potente upside down, the day before, she had been with my friend Derek for a while, and they were making plans, and she realized that she was late and decided to take a pregnancy test. Then she proceeded to take 10 of them, sent Derek, the story is so good, a bouquet of pregnancy tests that all said positive.
Oh my God.
And the next day, she didn't tell anyone. She went ahead with the scene and didn't say a word.
Oh my goodness.
Dulé, did you not know that?
I did not know that. She found out
she was pregnant with Polly, their first daughter. The day before we shot that scene. Isn't that crazy? And we were having her running and doing stunts, and it was insane.
We'd be like, no. We're not doing this.
No.
We're not hanging upside down. No, we are.
Dulé wanted to jump in the water.
Yeah. okay, anyway. That's the craziest thing. Gosh, wow. Still. Okay, fan questions. What were your thoughts on Sean finally admitting his feelings?
I think Gus was probably really thrilled that Sean is finally opening up and coming to terms with how he feels. I think he was actually probably impressed that Sean is showing some maturity and some growth, emotional maturity and growth.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I don't know. Maybe these are for all, but yes. Yeah. So after 5 years of buildup, what was it like to hear Shules is finally happening? I don't know that we knew yet.
Yeah, I don't think we knew that Shules was actually, I don't think we knew exactly where it was going. I mean,
no.
Because it still was very complicated.
Like, yeah.
In this episode, I don't think we knew that, okay, they're finally going to get together. I think we knew that it got very complicated.
Yeah, it did.
And we just knew that the train was leaving the station.
Yes.
Right.
And we don't know how it's going to get there, but it's going to hold on because it's about to be a bumpy ride.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. Yeah. Okay. What would be your character's dream undercover scenario?
I think my character's dream undercover scenario has probably happened already when he got a chance to be Michael Jackson.
Yes.
In American Duos. You know, yes. the only thing probably bigger would have been really being in a real pop concert with like his icons, you know, anybody, then that would probably be the next biggest thing for.
He would blow it. He'd never be able to be undercover surrounded by people he was in awe.
Him being on stage with everybody trying to do some investigation, he would love it and really get into it.
Yeah. I love that. Okay, how long did Franca hang upside down during the shoot? I don't know. I wasn't there for that scene. Do you remember, Dulé?
You know I don't. I mean,
yeah.
We shot this in when? What was this? Maybe like 2009, maybe?
Yeah, this was
That'd be my guess nine. Right about there.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Yeah. Most likely, I mean, we probably shot her, got the wide that we needed, got her close-up that we needed. And then that was that. We wouldn't leave her hanging upside down for too long.
Right.
I think in between takes, Dan Shea probably came and like lifted her, pushed her shoulder.
Lifted her up. Right. Yeah.
So we only had her. Yeah. Yeah.
And when I say not too long, it still is a long time. Probably still would have been.
Especially having hung upside down, not pregnant, but spoiler alert, if you haven't watched Deadwood, poor Dead Brom is, I'm totally just making this about myself now, but I was slung over a mule for half a day, and it's intensely uncomfortable.
Yeah, to be to have your head to be upside down, to be inverted. Yes, not easy.
It kind of reminds me when I was in my mother's womb. You know, bringing it back to me when I was in my mother's womb back when I was.
Well played, buddy.
You know what? You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me when I was okay. If you could give yourself your own spy name, what would it be? Oh my god, Gus had so many good nicknames. I feel like, spy name.
Spy name.
What would be a spy name?
Black Magic.
There it is.
Black Magic. You don't see him. He's like, you don't see him coming up, and all of a sudden he's there. You know, he's like, he gets in and he gets out. You know,
and he's got
dark magic. That'd be a dark magic.
Ooh,
comes in like under the darkness of the night.
I like it.
Would he be related to Dark Magic Jackal?
He'd be related to all the dark magics out there. They're all his cousins.
The dark, yeah. This was Dulé. I thank you so much. Thank you so much for all your time. Thank you for being our first episode back after our strike pivot, and thank you for being our Thanksgiving special that we give so much thanks for you.
Oh well, thank you all for having me here. You know, I love you, Maggie. Love you, Tim. Love you, Psychos.
Love you too.
I want to say thank you all for hanging with us over all these years, because it's been a great journey. And you know what? The best is yet to come. I think there's still more pineapples full of delicious flavor to be coming your way. And I just look forward to seeing what comes next. You know, keep on knowing that you all are gifted. Keep on knowing that you all are special. Keep on knowing that you all are light. Keep on knowing that you all are loved. And keep on knowing that this world is a better place because you are here. And if nobody else has ever said it, know that I say thank you for existing and thank you for being you. Peace.
And how grateful we are. You're all.
No, I'm crying again.
We are so grateful for you all. You know what I mean?
So grateful. And so grateful for you too, Dulé.
I love you, man.
Love you back.
So much. You know what I mean? And enjoy your day. Thank you for your time. And we love you and we'll see you very soon. Bye, Dulé. We love you so much.
Later.
Okay, bye. Thank you again for listening to another episode of The Psychologists Are In. I'm just so happy we can talk about the episode. That was so fun. Dulé, we love you so much. And so grateful you were able to do the episode and be our first one back. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Hope you're enjoying your days with your families, friends, dogs, whoever you're spending it with. And Jasmine, thank you for making an appearance as well. Anyway, that's it. We will see you next week. Don't forget to follow us on our Instagram at The Psychologists Are In and our Twitter at Psychologist Pod. And please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/psychologistsarein for full video episodes of the pod and ad-free eps. We will see you next week with season 5, episode 10, Extradition 2, the actual extradition part.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.